Breaking news now. News Radio 1080 KRLD.
Emergency storm coverage continues now on News Radio 1080 KRLD. We are joined live on the KRLD newsline by DFW Airport spokesman David Magana. David, thanks for being with us. What's the latest at DFW Airport?
Well, obviously, we are under the same tornado warning that we're seeing all around the region, as you guys have been reporting. And at the airport, we've begun the process of sheltering our passengers, in other words, moving them away from all of the glass areas on the edges of the terminals and into the centered areas of the terminals and away from the windows as much as we can.
As we continue our emergency weather coverage here on News Radio 1080 KRLD, we go live now to KRLD Chief Meteorologist Krista Villarreal.
Two new tornado warnings, Matt. We continue to see the circulation just increase, ramp up, and then the warning gets issued. This one for Denton County until 2:45.
KRLD's LP Phillips is live on the scene now. LP.
Well, man, heavy rain has reformed, as you've heard Krista say. A lot of lightning and thunder so far, no hail. Still, the rain here that is now coming down pretty good is not good news because there has been a lot of roof damage in this neighborhood near I-20 and Bonneview. About an hour ago, a twister came through this area, and yes, residents are sure about it. It was a twister. Brittany Johnson actually saw the tornado coming.
It's, I guess, the shape of the tornado that they actually teach us kids in school. So it was, we actually saw that shape of it spinning. It was dark, so we knew it was going to probably hit hard.
Widespread damage across North Texas. The latest area to be hit is the Forney area. That is where we find KRLD's Mike Rogers joining us live.
Guys, I'm standing in the middle of the Diamond Creek subdivision, which has been absolutely devastated by a tornado that drove through here a little under 2 hours ago. This entire neighborhood is filled with emergency vehicles right now. I'm standing next to a house that just isn't there anymore. It's a pile of rubble. Now, the emergency rescue team has gone through, and they've determined that no one was in that house. Thank goodness the house was empty, but it is destroyed. It is just a pile of rubble. The house next door, now I'm turning around and looking at it, and it's about half destroyed. As I walk through the driveway of that home, there's huge chunks of insulation that have been blown out of the house. There's insulation hanging out of the trees. It looks like Spanish moss. Big pieces of brick wall lying around, mangled window frames.
This is the KRLD Morning News. As many as 13 tornadoes ripped through North Texas.
I didn't really realize how big it was, but I could see the tail. I mean, it was just spinning, coming right this direction.
98 homes damaged in the town of Forney. KRLD's Jane Slater has been there all morning and has the latest for us from there live. Jane?
I found myself kind of walking around the Diamond Creek subdivision, and you just keep walking for blocks and blocks, and you're just amazed at the sheer width and volume of this debris field. Just walked over to Crosby Elementary. That was the school that received the direct hit.
Just a block away from where Governor Rick Perry held his press conference last week, there's a kitchen standing pretty much by itself. The kitchen tiles are still there. The refrigerator is there, but it's on its side. It belongs to Levine Norman. The home that he had for 30 years was blown away in an instant.
I can't start all over. If I can get enough to make another go at it and not owe too much money, then I will. But that's a decision I got to make.
He's been going down the street to a church where volunteers have been giving him plastic bags to put things in. Mark Lovato with North Texas Assembly of God is heading up that effort. He says that so many of the residents that they're helping clean up have never asked for help for anything before in their lives.
Oh, and probably the most unique thing that we've found in all of this is we'll walk up to some of these homes that are just totally devastated and, you know, with teams of 15 people willing to help them. And they're like, oh, I'm sure there's somebody else that needs the help more than I.
Recovery in this Lancaster neighborhood is expected to take months. Most of the debris is gone, but you can still see the tornado's path cut into the houses, blue tarps, as far as you can see. Back in Levine's kitchen, a friend has shown up to help him move the refrigerator. He tells a story about his aunt's house.
My aunt's house is kind of like this. And she has, like, porcelain angels that sit on her mantle over a fireplace.
Yeah.
Not touched. Not touched.
He then helps Levine put the refrigerator in his pickup truck. They're headed for the scrapyard. Reporting from Lancaster, Emily Trube, News Radio 1080, KRLD.
West Nile virus continues to hammer North Texas. Frisco reporting its second human case, which brings it up to 49 for Denton County alone. Dallas County has a record 109 cases, including 5 deaths. Tarrant County reports nearly 80 cases and 1 death. So protecting yourself against the virus is vital.
Mosquito repellent with DEET is generally what most people are familiar with, but Paul Cornell, the bug and garden expert at Elliott's Hardware in Dallas, says there's another product that works just as well.
In recent years, Bayer has produced Picaridin, and that is comparable to DEET. Picaridin is more comfortable than DEET.
Emily Troop has that.
Aerial spraying means that the mosquito killer would be released from airplanes. Right now, the insecticide is being sprayed from the back of trucks. Dallas County has not done aerial spraying since the 1960s. The Dallas County Medical Society is recommending that the county do it now. Dr. John Carlo.
No, it is unfortunate we're in this situation, but the situation is it's dangerous out there. And there are so many mosquitoes that are infected with West Nile virus that there really is no other choice at this point.
A proposal for how to pay for the program is being presented to the commissioners today. Aerial spraying is controversial because of air quality concerns and questions about whether or not it's effective. Emily Trube, News Radio 1080 KRLD.
Let's bring in the mayor of Dallas on the KRLD Newsline. Joining us live, Mayor Mike Rawlings. Mr. Mayor, thank you for being with us. A lot of tough decisions to be made. Let's start with the fact that today apparently is the deadline for cities to decide on the aerial spraying.
We told the county we'd get back with them by tomorrow. And so we're in that process. I have asked for a briefing from the city manager.
Dr. George Thielen and his family were in shock when their 86-year-old father, Bernard Thielen, got sick.
Within 3 days from being moderately ill at home with a stomach virus-like syndrome, he was in a coma.
He says it took several days in the hospital before they knew his father had West Nile virus.
KRLD's Emily Trube has more for us live here in the studio. Emily?
Airplanes will fly over a large area of North Dallas, dumping insecticide to kill mosquitoes. If you look on a map, the area is in the shape of a triangle. The main point is downtown Dallas, and then it expands out along I-35 to the north and I-30 to the east. And then the base of the triangle is formed by 635. With the exception of Mesquite, everything inside that area is going to be sprayed, including University Park and Highland Park.
Emily, thank you. If you're in the spraying area tonight, officials are urging you to stay inside. If you get any of the spray on you, they say that you should rinse off completely with soap and water. We have more tips available on the Dallas website for you, the City of Dallas website, and on CBSDFW.com.
It looks like there is going to be a fight over tonight's planned aerial spraying for the mosquitoes that carry out the West Nile virus. Dallas County Judge Clay Jenkins has received notice that groups, and isn't sure who, intend to ask a judge to block tonight's spraying by filing an injunction.
I'm KRLD's Emily Trube. We have just gotten word that the start time for that spraying that's scheduled for tonight will be pushed back. Originally, they said 8:30 tonight. The time is now 10 o'clock. Again, 10 o'clock tonight is when the planes will start flying overhead, dumping insecticide on North Dallas, Highland Park, and University Park.
The attack zone for tonight is the northeast quadrant of Dallas County, north of I-30, east of 75 Central. That includes parts of Mesquite, all of Garland, and some of Richardson. Dallas Mayor Mike Rawlings insists the spray is safe, although he adds,
if your skin or clothing is exposed to the spraying, please be sure to wash them. Science has said this should not impact you, but let's just take every precaution.
Tonight's spraying has a start time of 10 o'clock. Tomorrow, the northwest quadrant is scheduled to be sprayed starting at 10, but that time could be moved earlier depending on the weather. Reporting at Dallas Executive Airport, LP Phillips News Radio 1080 KRLD.
I'm Austin York. Dallas County Judge Clay Jenkins says the city received a letter that a temporary restraining order will be filed against the aerial spraying. He says county and city officials will do everything in their power to stop that order.
The CDC told me Friday when I made the decision to request the planes that the time that we wait can be counted in additional West Nile cases and human life.
Should you run your air conditioner when the planes are running? Jeff Stewart with Reliant Air Conditioning says yes, unless you have a fresh air intake system.
But for the majority of homeowners, it shouldn't be a problem. There's no air intake from the outdoor unit.
The only problem we might see is if people have a concern, they might want to rinse out those condenser coils on their outdoor unit.
We have much more information on this story, CBSDFW.com.
KRLD's Emily Troub has the latest on last night's operation and what you can expect tonight. She joins us now live. Emily?
Two small twin-engine planes sprayed insecticide over 49,000 acres in northeast Dallas, Garland, Highland Park, University Park, parts of Richardson, and Mesquite.
Of course, officials have been cautioning people to stay inside during the aerial spraying, but last night, not everyone did.
Most didn't seem too worried about the spray.
I mean, the government wouldn't let them do it if it was bad for you, would they?
I came out and
you think pesticides
probably got pesticides sprayed on me. I'll go home and take a shower. Thank you.
But others wish they'd known exactly what time the spray was coming.
Now, I'm more worried about the spray than the whiz now.
As the president finished up his speech, he shifted the focus from himself to the delegates.
If you give up on the idea that your voice can make a difference, then other voices will fill the void. The lobbyists and special interests, the people with the $10 million checks who are trying to buy this election.
CBS News anchor Scott Pelley says the latest polls show that only 10% of likely voters are undecided.
It is really, at this point, not about convincing people. It's about convincing people to actually get up and vote.
Smith County Delegate Karen Wilkerson.
You know, as we are engaged and as we stand up for what we want, the people, then it begins to happen. And if we want another 4 years to finish that work, then we have to stand up again.
Reporting from the Democratic National Convention in Charlotte, Emily Troub, News Radio 1080 KRLD.
Fire and explosion rock an industrial facility in Garland.
Just a regular work day, and then all of a sudden, this gigantic boom.
It is 5:31 at 1080 KRLD. We're going to take you straight out to KRLD's Matt Thomas, who is live in Garland, where there was this explosion at the Nexeo chemical plant about 2 hours ago. Matt, what do you have?
Chris, the flames are still leaping up into the sky over the trees. Balls of flames, looks like a fire-breathing dragon, and then the black smoke is just billowing into the sky over Dallas County. It does look like that the cloud is a little bit lower than it was before as it drifts to the south and west as the sun begins to set here. Still no change in the intensity of this fire at the Nexeo facility off of Industrial near Kingsley Road. They have evacuated an area, a pretty large area, around this facility. It's an industrial area.
The bells in Thanksgiving Square tolled 26 times, once for each of the victims in Connecticut.
It's been evident all around us, and there's so much attention paid to this. Because it was involving the young children, and so many young children.
Thanksgiving Foundation President Chris Slaughter says that the chapel tucked away in this downtown Dallas oasis is open today
for private reflection and prayer for the victims in Connecticut.
And he hopes on Thanksgiving for the first responders, the Sandy Hook teachers who protected their students, and for our own children.
The horrible tragedy in Connecticut has prompted questions about mental health in general. Texas ranks 51st in the nation, behind Washington, D.C., in the amount of money per capita spent on mental health services, about $38 a year. Colleen Horton is the policy program officer with the Hogg Foundation for Mental Health in Austin. She says that the state's money is for services for people who qualify for Medicaid.
You know, we spend mental health dollars at the county level and in jails. We spend it at the state level in the prisons and in the schools and in the mental health system. But it's all very fragmented and far too many times nothing's available until it's at a crisis point.
Dallas County Judge Larry Mitchell didn't buy yesterday's tearful testimony from Elizabeth Escalona.
It's hard to look at it, isn't it?
Yes, ma'am.
And by sentencing Escalona to 99 years in prison, he more than doubled what the 23-year-old mother of five would have gotten had she taken a plea agreement. Escalona admitted she not only glued her toddler to the wall, she beat and kicked the child so harshly it left her in a coma. Prosecutor Aaron Price.
I've certainly never had a case where anyone glued a child to the wall. But I'll tell you what I've learned after being a prosecutor for 16 years. Just when you think you've heard it all, you really haven't.
The earliest Escalona will be eligible for parole is in 30 years. LP Phillips News, Radio 1080 KRLD.
There was no lack of enthusiasm as some, as young as preschool, and others
who are World War II veterans, shouted, chanted, and thanked troops for their service to the country. With the troop drawdown, the flights are being consolidated at Atlanta. Annette Kaler was there to welcome her husband home for R&R from his fourth deployment since 9/11.
I've got two boys, and they're used to it. Unfortunately, they were children, very young when it first started, but it's become a way of life.
She says these deployments almost seem commonplace.
People do say, well, you take it so calmly, and I don't know another way to do it. If I was any other way, I think it would be harder for him while he was gone.
While many soldiers stay in touch with home through Skype, Annette says they decided not to.
Part of the anticipation is not seeing each other, and then for the first time after months, seeing each other. It's always worked for us in the past, so we continue to do it. We talk maybe once every couple weeks.
But as her husband's spotted in the line of troops, she gets excited, tries to get his attention. Out comes the camera.
Look this way.
They hug and kiss and head out for 2 weeks of R&R before he returns to Afghanistan. Chuck Schenker, News Radio 1080 KRLD.
The family of Dallas hairdresser Elizabeth Lightfoot say they are frustrated by the lack of progress in a four-month-old case that police still consider to be a murder. KRLD's L.P. Phillips has more on the story.
When the body of the 22-year-old hairstylist was found in a burning car, police wasted little time declaring the case a murder and asking the public for help. Dallas Fire Rescue assumed the investigation into the cause of the fire. But then in December, the Dallas County Medical Examiner issued a finding that Lightfoot was alive when the car fire started, had four times the legal limit of alcohol in her system, yet no signs of trauma or injury. The death was ruled accidental due to carbon monoxide poisoning. Barbara Lightfoot feels the medical examiner jumped the gun, and that there are unanswered questions that point to another person.
There's a huge time gap from where Elizabeth was last seen and where she was found, and there's no indication that they know how she got from point A to point B or who she was with in that interim.
If Dallas police consider the case an open murder, they haven't consented to a single interview by KRLD since the medical examiner's report. Dallas Fire Rescue has refused to provide any answers to our repeated question why its investigation is taking so long. Meantime, the family is convinced someone knows something and will ultimately talk.
I feel confident that somebody will have a conscience and come forward with information. So I'm just hoping that those individuals who do know something will find it within their heart to do what's right and help just find closure on this.
LP Phillips News Radio 1080 KRLD.
On an average week, they may be mocked or stared at. But this week, at the Little People of America's annual convention, those who have dwarfism get the chance to stand tall.
Being here is nice. You get to be eye to eye with people and feel tall for once.
I like the perspective I have here because it's nice meeting eye to eye.
Little people from every part of the country have made the journey to Texas for the event. Many are veterans of the group, but there are also some first-timers.
So this is your first time here?
Yeah, first time. Yeah.
Steve is 38. He grew up as an outcast.
This is actually my first contact with other little people.
How does it make you feel?
Well, it doesn't make me feel any awkward or standout, or like how I would feel in normal situations.
He says it was a big step to come here.
You know, when I stepped out of the cab yesterday, you know, that was overwhelming for me. I didn't want to get out of the cab. But, you know, once I came out, people started staring at me, and that really didn't bother me at all for the first time.
At this convention, little people like Steve share their stories of hurt.
We have faced dwarf tossing in several different states.
And of joy.
Well, who made the first move?
Him.
Oh, he did, huh?
She saw me sewing off and with my smooth moves, and she just started blessing.
At the Sheraton, there are thousands of little people with a thousand stories. The attendees range in age from the young.
How old are you, young man?
12.
To the not so young.
I'm 51.
But one thing they all have in common is that they're happy with who they are.
Did you change anything about yourself?
Not really.
Joe Gomez, News Radio 1080 KRLD.
Hickory Creek in Denton County is a nice little town of a few thousand people. It's right by a lake, it's got some restaurants, a Walmart, and it has Champ d'Or, French for fields of gold. Laura Brady is with Concierge Auctions.
Well, in total, Champ d'Or is 48,000 square feet. That includes the main house, the pool house. There's also quite a large garage area, extensive amenities such as a bowling alley.
And a racquetball court, two pools, a full ballroom. Her closet has two stories. She has her own hair salon. The veranda seats 450, and the detail is frankly amazing.
Is this over the top? This is like over the top.
Candy Evans is a real estate blogger.
You know, I'm just obsessed with real estate and house porn. I love it. I love every square inch of it. I look at it as an artisan thing. I mean, I look at the detail work. Did you see the tassels in the theater look like they're real? And then someone spent hours carving that wood and painting it. That's the kind of stuff that I like, that someone actually did that.
Oh, the theater has box seats. The house has two gold-plated elevators. Brady says the owners built the place for $46 million. It was completed 10 years ago.
The owner, she in fact was on site nearly every single day of that 7 years. So you can imagine how hands-on she was with all of the artisans that were here painting the murals, all of the plaster moldings were created on site.
And after all that, Alan and Shirley Goldfeld lived there for a year.
But why are they selling it?
Well, they're selling it because they actually don't entertain as much as they used to. The wife would actually tell you that she enjoyed having large events here, but this is just a different time in their life now. They're ready to move on to have a simpler life with a smaller home.
It was an odd sight many were having trouble processing. Big Tech's on fire from head to toe.
We saw all the smoke and the flames coming out of the back.
I mean, everybody was just in awe and shocked that they went out, you know, that happened that quick.
The cause is believed to be an electrical short in one of those huge boots. But iconic or not, while the area around Big Tech's was shut down, some had other state fair staples on their mind.
I can't get a Fletcher corny dog.
You don't care about Big Tech's.
Oh, we saw it earlier.
You're more worried about a corn dog.
It's right in front of the stand, though. I mean, he's right there. I can't get the corn dog.
The fair is already vowing to rebuild Big Tech's bigger and better. LP Phillips News Radio, 1080 KRLD.
Each race features four little pigs giving it all they've got.
Most of these pigs are about 3-4 months old. That's when little pigs really like to run. They get too much bigger than that, then they think all the fun's out of it.
Announcer Pork Barrel Annie.
What attributes do you look for?
Of course, we look for sleek lines, nice, good build, and we look for the hungriest pig because they're going to want to be the first to the Oreo cookie.
But wagers are few and far between.
It's not like you can go by confirmation, like the horses. It's just a matter of who's hungriest, I guess.
So you don't have any bets or anything?
We haven't thought about that.
I'm doing it now.
Yeah, now we're thinking about it.
Now it's on. Are you ready?
We got to figure out which pig's which.
Okay, I hear that Lefty is the one to watch.
They're running competitively, you know. They're not in the back, they're running.
Former rodeo clown Joe Hedrick runs the show.
The actual race will last about 15, 16 seconds, you know.
As predicted, Lefty won the jump race, and it may be one of his last.
This is going to be the last show that these pigs race in. We could race them longer, actually, and they could race for another month, easy, you know. But we're coming to the end of the season, and so these guys will be retired. And
so they'll be running their little hearts out for the next week at the State Fair of Texas. Emily Troop, News Radio 1080 KRLD.
The Salvation Army's 50,000-square-foot warehouse on Felix Street was packed with donated items, from clothes to furniture and more. Then there are items that require some examination.
What is that?
It's coasters. I got to fix it.
Coasters that look like a pool table.
Yeah. Cute, ain't it?
Linda Brown loads it into her cart and picks up another item.
Oh, so you got a nice music box.
Mm-hmm,
you collect that kind of stuff?
Oh, I collect everything.
Alan Bruce walks out with only one item in his hands.
A pig.
What do you mean, a pig?
It's a ceramic pig.
and I thought it was the cutest thing, so I got it.
And why a ceramic pig?
Because I collect pigs.
How many you got?
I got about 300.
Martha Monday loads up a cartload of items.
Actually, I didn't need any of this, so I'm spending money, but that's okay. It's for a good cause.
The Salvation Army hopes to raise some $40,000 to help their work in the community. In Fort Worth, Chuck Schechner, News Radio 1080, KRLD.
The central character of the stage play War Horse is Joey, a horse played by a large puppet that's controlled by three people. The movements are so real, you forget you're not seeing a live horse. To test how real he is, Joey was introduced outside the Winspear Opera House by Dallas's First Lady, Mickey Rawlings.
I'm going to introduce Joey to two of our finest with our Dallas Police Department, the mounted policemen. The little one is Smokey. The big one is Nigel. And this is Joey.
Everyone held their breath as the horses, real and imaginary, met each other.
Oh.
The meeting was a success. The police horses seemed fooled.
I think they are good friends now.
Dallas is the third city to host the Broadway tour of the Tony Award-winning show, which is based on a children's book by the same name. Chris Heinbaugh with the AT&T Performing Arts Center.
That is a really big deal for Dallas because it sends a message from the Broadway community that Dallas is a serious market. It is a market where they want to start things off, get a good run here, and then go off into the rest of the country.
Joey, I hope you enjoy Dallas. Have fun.
War Horse runs through September 23rd. Emily Troub, News Radio 1080, KRLD.
People are beginning to assess the hail damage to their property and rake up fallen leaves. I'm on Tremont Street near Abrams. Homeowner Ricky Wardlow lost the sunroof on his car along with a couple of windows on his house. He says the tennis ball size hail seemed to come out of nowhere.
It started raining and then we started hearing like noises, usually the seeds from the trees. And then I'm watching, she wants to come out and put a blanket over the car. And then instantly, like 30 seconds later, it was terrible.
The Lakewood Theater in this area also suffered terrible damage as well. 90% of the glass on its signature tower is destroyed, along with half of the marquee. Glass is all over the parking lot.
News Radio 1080, KRLD, and Breitling Oil and Gas remind you that Christmas is for caring. Let's go live to the Humana Insurance phone bank.
Good afternoon. It's Chris Summer, and obviously you just have heard.
This is CBS News.
A crash course in surveying tornado damage. Good afternoon. 503, 75 degrees. Back out to 55 tonight with an isolated shower and storm in parts. Most of us, though, going to be dry tonight. Traffic and weather together on the 8s comes your way at 508. Along with Tayshia Stevens, I'm Will Starrett.
A National Weather Service forecaster spending the day sifting through wreckage from the tornado that hit Lancaster. And after all the sifting, decided it was an EF2.
Out of the five levels that the Weather Service has to rate tornadoes, the lower ranking of the one that hit Lancaster, then picked up the semi-trailers in South Dallas, may surprise some. An EF2 has winds of up to 130 miles an hour, which National Weather Service meteorologist Bill Bunting says is plenty to do the damage you saw.
It can, and we haven't looked at all the damage there yet, but certainly those kinds of winds can lift objects of that weight. Those weigh several thousand pounds and can toss them about pretty easily, and that's in fact what we saw yesterday.
What impresses Bunning and his team of forecasters most is that three cells capable of producing tornadoes form all at once. In South Dallas County, LP Phillips News Radio 1080 KRLD. Neighbors share quite a few things, but few share a semi-trailer that falls out of the sky and on top of their homes. Around I-20 in Bonneville, one of those huge trailers sucked up by the tornado landed on top of one home and in the backyard of the other.
Yeah, that's part of the trailer right there. And that's my patio. That's my patio. And it took that part of my house off and landed there, I guess.
And as Jackie Johnson, she's taking it about as well as she can. Nobody was home, nobody hurt. Neither she nor the neighbor know how they're going to get that truck out of there, though.
Town of Lancaster hit very hard yesterday. Hundreds of buildings and homes damaged and destroyed. Police Chief Larry Flatt says it's going to take months to clean up the town.
It's devastating to the citizens of this community and to this community. The day and time that we're living right now economically, people cannot afford to be going through some kind of tragic situation this way. The citizens or the city.
This woman's apartment was completely destroyed, and she has no insurance. She stayed with her sister last night, but she's not sure how long that's going
to
last.
She's getting ready to move, so she only has a one-and-a-half bedroom. So I just play it by ear.
Hundreds of residents can't get back into their homes in northwest Lancaster. Their neighborhood's been blocked off by DPS troopers. Chief Flatt says they hope to offer police escorts to people by tomorrow so they can get to their homes and retrieve essentials and their pets.
Folks in Forney have been cleaning up tornado damage in the Diamond Creek subdivision. Many of the homes there considered a total loss, as we hear from KRLD's Jane Slater.
Some of them arrived early this morning and just stood there. Dazed looks on many of their faces as they try to process the damage and the daunting task of cleanup ahead. Sherry Enoch's story is one many can't stop talking about. The Forney grandmother was watching her three grandchildren at home when the storm hit. She managed to get all of them in the bathtub, but then came the tornado force winds that threatened to rip her small grandson out of her arms.
I felt like he was just torn away from me, and I pulled him back. You know, it was like that wind was just going to take him away.
Enoch's returned today, thankful she saved her grandchildren, but her home couldn't be saved, nor could the family vehicles. All were crumbled up, tossed around, and flung about.
All the windows are blown out of it. And it was sitting in the driveway there. And you see it's in the yard. It's awful.
And the bathtub she and her family sought cover in still has not been recovered. Jane Slater, News Radio 1080 KRLD.
A review of the tornado damage in Arlington today shows things even worse than originally thought. We'll have that story plus traffic and weather together on the 8th next. KRLD News Times 507.
Right off the car, not the kid.
Traffic and weather together on the 8th. News Radio 1080 KRLD.
It's 5:08 and delays continue to build along 635 LBJ. This update is brought to you by Denny's. 635 eastbound, just before you get to Marsh, watch for a stalled car there. That is blocking off the left-hand lane, and that is causing us some pretty significant delays stretching all the way back beyond Luna. Now, we've got delays on 75 Central, and there's a pretty good reason for that. If you're traveling on that northbound side of 75 right through at Forest, you get a wreck blocking off the left-hand lane. That's why we've got delays all the way back beyond Northwest Highway. If you're on the tollway southbound just past the George Bush Turnpike, watch for a stalled car in the left lane. That's starting to stack up. And then we still got problems on that northbound side of the tollway just before you get to Windhaven. Got a wreck there. That is blocking off the left-hand lane. Now let's go to Mike Gould, who's taking a look at Highway 360.
And we're still looking at the southbound side of 360 here as you're coming across Trinity. You're going to see where that problem off to the right-hand shoulder now. Traffic has picked up quite a bit. It is still very slow, though, to join Trinity in southbound, join 360 southbound direction as you make your way out for 183. Both ramps are still very heavy, by the way. And then we are seeing the heavier side of traffic on that westbound side of 183 as you pass under 360. You'll see the brake lights there from about Amon Carter on over. As you continue over westbound, though, you're on the brakes again around 157 Industrial, heavy over toward 121 as you make it through the construction area there. We're also looking at the 360 southbound side a little bit further south. Just as you're coming across 303 Pioneer Parkway, you're on the brakes there. You'll stay heavy down toward Mayfield I-20. The westbound direction, also heavy from Great Southwest Parkway under 360. It'll let up for you at about New York Avenue.
And it's still about a 40-minute trip along I-35, leaving downtown Dallas, heading all the way up to the Lake Louisville Bridge. Breakfast for dinner? Denny's is open to that. Introducing Denny's Build Your Own Pancakes. Come into Denny's tonight and build a stack you'll be proud of. For a limited time only, Denny's, America's Diner, is always open. With traffic and weather together on the 8th, next report at 5:18, I'm Rob Civilly on your traffic leader, KRLD.
Could see partly cloudy skies tonight. 55 going to be the low. Tomorrow, mostly sunny with a high of 80. Right now, sunny, beautiful outside, 73.
5:11 here in the DriversSelect.com News Center. A review of the tornado damage in Arlington today showing things even worse than officials originally thought. The mayor in Arlington, Robert Kluck, telling KRLD instead of 150 homes, double that number, 300 were either damaged or a total loss. Says the Salvation Army shelter is going to be open again tonight.
It's going to be available from now on until we get this thing rectified. And my last report last night was about 100 people were there.
Now, in Arlington, they've designated West Police Service Station as the one-stop shop for folks to get city services for free.
tornado that hit Arlington heavily damaged a church just days before Easter. KRLD's Chuck Schechner has more.
St. Barnabas United Methodist Church took a direct hit. Senior pastor Will Cotton tells me they're trying to figure out what to do.
We were scheduled tonight for a great big dinner. It won't happen. We have Maundy Thursday. I imagine we will do something for Maundy Thursday, but I'm not sure what it'll be.
There's no question the congregation needs another facility for Good Friday and Easter Sunday services. The sanctuary floor raised up from the flooding rain, and two stained glass windows were shattered.
Our educational space is just wrecked, so we've got to work on that. My guess is that a couple of our buildings are near total loss.
Chuck Schechner, News Radio 1080, KRLD.
CBS Radio, CBS 11, CBS DFW, all partnering with the Red Cross to host a tornado relief drive this afternoon. That is going on as part of CBS 11 News, underway right now. In fact, we're seeing it on the TV here in the studio. If you want to contribute, you can call in 877-TEXAS-11. Again, 877-TEXAS-11. That's how you can donate to the Red Cross Disaster Relief Fund, help our neighbors in need, and thanks in advance.
Well, so much damage across North Texas due to the storms. Insurance claims are going to start rolling in. KRLD's Austin York has more on what you should do if you have any car or home damage.
Well, so many claims coming in. Patience is a must, according to Sandra Heelan with the Southwest Insurance Information Service. She says make sure you call your insurance company immediately if you have any damage so they can get an adjuster out as soon as possible. She says expect them to send adjusters to homes hardest hit first. Heelan also says watch out for scammers.
Storm chasers come in from all over the country immediately, and they'll be knocking on doors, asking for upfront money. That's a red flag. Ask contractors for references. Verify those references. Check with the Better Business Bureau.
She says any photos and videos would be helpful for adjusters. Austin York, News Radio 1080, KRLD.
North Texas tornado outbreak has many folks counting our blessings today, many others thinking about what to do to prepare for the next tornado. Tiffany Kromoff at Texas Tornado Storm Shelters in McKinney says the phone's been ringing nonstop today. New orders have them booked through June. Says they can put a shelter pretty much anywhere, just a few exceptions.
They're not typically able to be placed underneath a foundation or a garage or anything like that because they typically stick up out of the ground about 24 inches. And so they're not able to be placed actually inside of a home.
And a tornado shelter may not be as pricey as you think.
Coming up, Dallas Mayor Mike Rawlings talks with our Matt Thomas about the city's response to all the damage in different parts of the city. KRLD News Time, 5:14.
Do some financial spring cleaning.